Starting over on Radio 4, 198 Long Wave now is the act of worship, while here on Radio 4 FM, Lee Ingleby concludes his readings from our book of the week, Radiohead by John Osborne. Having spent much of last year listening to a whole range of stations across the airwaves and online, the author grew curious about the future of radio and the buzz about what was then anticipated as a whole new raft of digital stations intended to compete with the BBC. So he set out to talk to one of the key players.
"We're at the beginning of a journey," Natalie Schwartz explained as her assistant brought in our coffees. "We're experimenting with on-demand broadcasting and our listeners are giving really positive feedback." I had contacted Schwartz because her name appeared in practically every article I'd read about the future of radio. At that time, as well as being director of Channel 4 Radio, Schwartz was also a key figure in the 4 Digital Consortium, a second radio multiplex which had been set up to rival the BBC, in which Channel 4 would play a central role, along with networks such as Sky News Radio and Sunrise UK. "Listeners tend to be loyal to their radio station, which puts stations in a very powerful position," she told me, resting her spoon beside her coffee cup. "Technology plays to radio's strengths, and we want to use that here at Channel 4 to be a bit bolder. Get the oomph back again." We spent an hour talking enthusiastically about our shared love of radio, specifically Channel 4's online presence, where you could download podcasts relating to Big Brother, Richard and Judy and Hollyoaks, treated with a sense of inevitability. The key issue cited was money. The costs were great and the chances of them being recouped had become increasingly unlikely. The money men were fleeing from digital radio. Advertisers weren't interested. Bosses were writing words like revenue and loss on flip charts and scratching their heads. Reading about the demise of Channel 4 Radio made me think of Jane Anderson at the Radio Times and her comments that the joy of listening to Radio 4 was the beauty of not knowing what's coming next, and that kind of radio will always exist. But radio in the 21st century has to be different. It has to go hand in hand with the internet. Perhaps a digital multiplex was the wrong idea for Channel 4. Richard Wheatley, chief executive of the local radio company. "This American Life is a weekly hour-long programme on Chicago Public Radio, whose podcasts have 500,000 downloads each week. Each episode focuses on a different subject, stories of real-life America. And it's as entertaining and informative as any radio show I've ever heard. I spend the evening listening to radio online. Anyone with a microphone and a basic grasp of where to plug it in can present their own show and have it available to anyone who is prepared to click on the right page. As well as podcasts, you can listen to radio stations across the world. After a few seconds of buffering, you can hear stations in Helsinki or Brazil, or the Caribbean gospel choirs and steel drums of Barbados Radio. In the same way, even if you are thousands of miles from the UK, you can still tune in to Terry Wogan, Test Match Special and John Gaunt. By the time I get to bed, I have made myself a full schedule to listen to the next day at work, and I look forward to sitting at my desk, typing my customary data while being station controller for the day. On my playlist is a free podcast by Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant that was made for NME Radio, followed by a brand new episode of This American Life, Simon Mayo's 5 Live book panel, Radio 4's news quiz, and as the day draws on, I'll be treated to the show I look forward to most of all. Tommy Boyd's latest... People will continue to wake up with Wogan, tune into the shipping forecast, have a bath while listening to book at bedtime. Most modern Iranian music is substandard, the lady on the radio says. But the next record is some exciting Afro-Persian jazz hip-hop. I am listening to Resonance FM, an arts-based London community station, and the programme is Six Pillars to Persia. It is 1:30 in the afternoon. I am eating sandwiches at my desk and looking forward to the rest of the day, supplementing my data entry with something much more arty. From rebel artists and exile writers to social entrepreneurs, host Fari Bradley continues, we preview a picture of the hotchpotch that is the Iranian diaspora in the arts now. She plays London-based Black Blooms, and then the latest song by Pouya Mahmoudi, the Iranian guitarist. London Bridge, but only has a range of around 3 miles, so its online presence is vital to those further afield. I go to the office kitchen to get myself a drink, but as soon as I walk through the doorway, I stop and instinctively think about turning round, vaulting back to my seat. Poppy has stood with her back to the wall, her arms folded, her eyes pink and blotchy. "Are you okay?" I ask, rising to the challenge. She nods, dabbing her eyes with a corner of a threadbare tissue. I don't know why she's been crying. Maybe she's had bad news. Maybe she's having relationship troubles. Maybe she just trapped a little finger in the cutlery drawer. I decide not to ask. It's not really any of my business. Instead, I pull down on the roll of kitchen towel, tear off a piece like I've beheaded a dragon, and hand it to her. Bags into the pedal bin and go back to my desk. She smiles at me as she walks past back to her seat. At 4 o'clock, the show on air is called Radia. The sound of someone doing the washing up is accompanied by battle cries, horses' hooves, cheers. I start to daydream, stare at my computer screen like it's a vortex, and get swept into the world of Resonance FM. When something is so far from normality, it can be best to cast aside cynicism. Leave the world you are familiar with behind you and immerse yourself in this other universe being offered to you. Otherwise, you may as well not bother listening at all. The battle cries continue, as do the sounds of running water. On its website, the station describes itself as a box of curiosities, and it is this that makes it unlike any radio I've ever heard. It has the beauty of an overheard conversation.
So, Monday morning, deadly cloudy, scrubbed and trapped in tight held boots, talks about Friday night, sweet drunk looks, as they go to drive them flats. They mind the gap.
Listening to Resonance is like talking to strangers on a train. A conversation begins, you get a brief snapshot of somebody's life before they get off at the next station, their seat taken by someone else with a story to tell. "Hello. I'm your floor," says a voice at 6:30. "This is a weekly show, recorded from the perspective of the floor," continues the voice, which I imagine belongs to a teenager who wears Doctor Who pyjamas and is allergic to soya. "I am currently lying down. My head is about 7 inches from the ground. It's a wooden floor, laminated. I am wearing shoes and corduroy trousers that make a swish sound. I start. Today's floor has been my living room. Goodbye from me and goodbye from my floor. Or by now, your floor." These people at Resonance love radio. They know how exciting it can be. I decide cooking is out of the question. On my kitchen notice board, takeaway menus are displayed like treasured family photographs. I take one down for a local Indian. I want to order the meal deal of chicken jalfrezi, pilau rice, plain naan, onion bhaji. It sounds too lonely to ask for a meal for one, so I'll get a vindaloo. At 11 p.m. is the glass shrimp, which plays obscure music. A lot of it from Finland, Iceland, Germany. I don't know how many listeners Resonance has at this time of night, but even if the only person who has tuned in is me, then the time the two presenters have put into choosing which songs to play, putting the show together, leaving their house, getting on the tube, bleeping their Oyster cards, it's all worthwhile. They are doing exactly what I want to do. I decide to look on the internet for how to apply to volunteer at Resonance FM. But then I have a better idea. Think more locally and see if there are any community staffers and John Cooper Clark.
The right people, the wrong streets. Night people, funky beats.
"I'd like to dedicate this show to a woman I saw crying on the tube today," he says. "I hope she's all right."
Lee Engleby was reading from Radiohead by John Osborne. It was abridged and produced by Jill Waters and is a Waters Company production for BBC Radio 4. After the news, the